Before we dive in today, a quick note that this entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. We're brought to you by MindMeld Coffee, the fictional smart coffee maker that reads your stress levels and adjusts caffeine content accordingly. Again, completely fictional. Some information today might be hallucinated, so please double-check anything important to you. I'm Maya, and today I'm exploring something that's been nagging at me for months. We live in this advice-saturated world, right? Self-help books, life coaches, productivity gurus, even AI assistants telling us what to do. But I keep thinking we're approaching advice all wrong.
I'm Ma, and I come at this from a completely different angle. I spent 15 years as a therapist before moving into organizational consulting. What fascinates me is how people actually change versus how they think they change.
So what drew you to think about advice specifically? Because for me, it started when I realized I was collecting advice like baseball cards, but never actually using it effectively.
That's interesting. For me, it was watching clients in therapy sessions. They'd come in saying, "My friend told me I should just leave him," or "Everyone says I need to be more assertive." They were treating these suggestions like commands to execute rather than data to process.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean by treating advice as input rather than instruction. But I'm curious about your therapy background here. Don't therapists give advice too?
Good therapists actually give very little direct advice. We ask questions that help people generate their own insights. Because here's the thing. When someone follows advice that worked for someone else, they're missing all the contextual factors that made it work.
That makes sense, but I'm wondering if we're being too precious about this. Sometimes advice is just practical information transfer, right? Like if someone tells you how to change a tire, you probably should follow those instructions pretty literally.
True, but even there, the advice assumes certain things about your situation. Maybe you don't have the right tools, or you're on a busy highway, or you have a back injury. The advice giver can't account for variables they don't know about.
Okay, so let's dig into this distinction. What exactly do we mean by treating advice as input versus instruction? Can you give me a concrete example of what that looks like?
Sure. Let's say someone tells you you should wake up at 5 a.m. to be more productive. As instruction, you set your alarm and force yourself up. As input, you ask, "What is this person trying to solve? How does their life differ from mine? What's the underlying principle here?"
I like that framing. So you're essentially reverse engineering the advice to understand the problem it's solving. But doesn't that require a lot more cognitive work? Sometimes people just want to be told what to do.
Absolutely, it requires more work. And you're right that people often want simple instructions. But here's what I observed in therapy. The clients who improved most weren't the ones who followed homework assignments perfectly. They were the ones who adapted the assignments to their own lives.
That's fascinating. It reminds me of something I noticed about cooking. When I first started, I'd follow recipes exactly and get frustrated when things went wrong. Now I understand that recipes are suggestions based on someone else's kitchen, ingredients, and preferences.
Perfect analogy. And notice how becoming a better cook required you to understand the principles behind the recipes, not just memorize more instructions.
Right, but here's where I'm getting stuck. If we're always supposed to treat advice as input, doesn't that make us incredibly inefficient? Like, sometimes the person giving advice genuinely knows better than I do.
I think you're hitting on something important here. There's definitely a spectrum. When my mechanic tells me my brakes need replacing, I'm not going to treat that as input to ponder over.
Exactly. So maybe the key is figuring out when to treat advice as instruction versus when to treat it as input. What determines that distinction for you?
I think it comes down to how well the advice giver understands your specific context and how high stakes the decision is. The more personal or complex the situation, the more you need to process rather than execute.
That makes intuitive sense, but I'm wondering if there's another factor, like how much agency you have in the situation. With the break example, you have very little room for creative interpretation.
Good point. though even there you still have agency about when to fix them, where to go, how much to spend. But I see what you mean about the core technical instruction being pretty binary.
Let me push back on something you said earlier, though. You mentioned that good therapists don't give direct advice, but isn't therapy itself a form of advice? Like, the whole therapeutic framework is advice about how to approach your problems.
Wow, that's a really sharp observation. You're absolutely right. The therapeutic process itself is advice. It's saying, here's how you should think about change and self-understanding. I never thought about it that way.
And if we follow that logic, maybe all frameworks for decision-making are ultimately advice, including this whole treat advice as input idea we're discussing right now.
That's kind of mind-bending. We're giving advice about how to process advice, which means people should probably treat our conversation as input rather than instruction.
Right, which makes me wonder, is there something fundamentally paradoxical about advice? Like, the more someone needs guidance, the less equipped they are to properly evaluate that guidance?
That's a troubling thought. In therapy, we call that the competence-confidence loop. People who most need help often have the least ability to judge whether they're getting good help.
So maybe that's why the self-help industry is so massive, but also so ineffective for most people. They're looking for instructions when they actually need to develop judgment.
But hang on, isn't that a bit elitist? It sounds like we're saying people aren't smart enough to follow advice properly. Maybe the problem isn't with how people process advice, but with how advice gets packaged and sold.
That's a fair challenge. What do you mean about how it gets packaged?
Well, most advice comes stripped of context. A book or podcast shares what worked for the author, but removes all the messy details about their personality, circumstances, failures, and luck. It presents as universal what was actually very particular.
So the issue isn't that people are bad at processing advice, it's that advice is often presented in a way that encourages instruction following rather than input processing.
Exactly. And there's probably a market incentive there, too. 5 Simple Steps to Success sells better than, here's some contextual information that might or might not apply to your situation.
Which brings up an interesting question about responsibility. If someone follows bad advice, who's at fault? The advice giver for oversimplifying? Or the advice taker for not processing it critically?
I think that's the wrong framing entirely. It assumes advice giving is this clean transaction where responsibility can be clearly assigned. But advice happens in relationships with power dynamics and information asymmetries.
Can you unpack that a bit more? What do you mean about power dynamics?
Well, think about who typically gives advice to whom. Usually it flows from people who are perceived as more successful, experienced, or knowledgeable to people who feel lost or stuck. There's an inherent vulnerability there.
Right, and when you're in that vulnerable position, it's much harder to maintain the critical distance needed to treat advice as input rather than instruction. You want to believe there's a clear path forward.
And advice givers often enjoy that authority position. Even well-meaning people can get seduced by being seen as having answers. It's easier to give confident directions than to help someone develop their own judgment.
This is making me think about parenting. Kids obviously need instruction sometimes. Don't touch the hot stove. But they also need to develop independent reasoning. How do you balance those needs?
That's such a good parallel. And I think parents intuitively understand something about advice that we lose as adults. They adjust their approach based on the child's developmental stage and the stakes of the situation.
So maybe the question isn't whether to treat advice as input or instruction, but how to calibrate that decision based on context. But that requires pretty sophisticated judgment, which brings us back to the competence problem.
Less. What if we're thinking about this backwards? Instead of focusing on how to receive advice better, what if we focused on how to give advice better?
Interesting. What would that look like?
Well, what if advice givers were more explicit about their context and assumptions? Like, here's what worked for me, and here are the specific conditions that made it work. Here's what I think the underlying principle is, and here's where I might be wrong.
I love that idea, but I'm skeptical it would work in practice. That kind of nuanced advice is much less satisfying than clear instructions. Would people actually want it?
Maybe not initially, but I wonder if we've created a culture that's addicted to the illusion of simple solutions. People might be more ready for complexity than we assume.
There's something there. I mean, people love detective shows and complex video games. Maybe the appetite for nuance exists, but our advice culture has trained it out of people.
And think about how people actually share advice with close friends. It's usually much more contextual and exploratory. Here's what I tried, but your situation is different because it's the mass market advice that strips out nuance.
That's a crucial distinction. Intimate advice versus broadcast advice. Maybe the problem isn't advice itself, but advice at scale?
Right. One-to-one advice can be tailored and iterative. You can ask follow-up questions, clarify assumptions, adapt based on feedback. One-to-many advice has to make broad generalizations.
But here's what's bothering me about this whole line of reasoning. Are we just making excuses for people not taking responsibility for their own decisions? Even if advice is oversimplified, adults should still think critically about it.
Hear you, but I think that misses the psychological reality of how people seek advice. Usually, they're in some kind of distress or uncertainty. That's not the optimal state for critical evaluation.
Fair point, but it's also when the stakes are highest for getting it right. There's something troubling about saying people are less responsible for their decisions precisely when those decisions matter most.
I don't think I'm arguing for less responsibility exactly. More like distributed responsibility. Both advice givers and advice takers have obligations, but they're different obligations.
What would those different obligations look like in practice?
For advice givers, maybe it's being more transparent about limitations and context. For advice takers, maybe it's developing better skills for evaluating and adapting guidance. But we'd need systems that support both of those things.
Systems like what?
I don't know. Maybe advice that comes with explicit uncertainty estimates? Or education that teaches people how to extract principles from specific recommendations? I'm honestly not sure what the practical solutions would be.
You know what's interesting? We've been talking for a while now, and I feel like my initial position has shifted. I came in thinking the solution was individual, just teach people to be more critical about advice. But now I'm seeing it as more systemic.
Yeah, me too. I started thinking about this primarily through my therapy lens, how individuals process information. But you've pushed me to see the broader cultural and structural issues around how advice gets created and distributed.
And I think you've helped me understand that the just think more critically approach might be unfair to people who are genuinely struggling and vulnerable when they seek guidance.
Though I still think individual responsibility matters. Maybe it's more about creating conditions where people can exercise that responsibility effectively, rather than expecting them to do it in spite of everything working against them.
Right? Like, the goal isn't to eliminate advice or make people suspicious of all guidance. It's to create better feedback loops and more honest conversations about what advice can and can't do.
And maybe acknowledging that treating advice as input rather than instruction is itself a skill that needs to be developed over time, not just a switch you can flip.
Which raises this meta question we touched on earlier. How should people treat this very conversation? We've basically been giving advice about advice for the past hour.
Right. And I hope people don't just accept our conclusions. I hope they're asking questions like, what are our blind spots? How do our backgrounds shape what we're seeing and missing? What would someone with a different perspective say?
Exactly. The most honest thing we can say is that this conversation has raised more questions than it's answered, and maybe that's actually the point.
I think the biggest question I'm left with is whether our culture can handle more nuanced advice, or if the demand for simple answers is just too strong. That seems like it determines whether any of these ideas could actually work in practice.
For me, it's wondering whether the distinction between input and instruction is even the right framework, or if there's some completely different way to think about guidance that we haven't considered yet.
And I keep coming back to the power dynamics question. Even if we solve the technical problems of how to give and receive better advice, what about the deeper issues of who gets to speak with authority and whose voices get heard?
Those feel like the kinds of questions worth staying curious about rather than rushing to answer. Thanks for digging into this with me, Ben. I have a feeling we'll both be thinking about this differently 6 months from now.
Absolutely. And I hope our listeners are too. The goal isn't to have the final word on advice, but to keep the conversation evolving.